Of Hayamid Bays, five lines down from the top after the two dots, Rabbi Shmuel, Omer Ein Madlikim Be'itro Mipnei Kvod HaShabbos. So the Gemara asks my timer, why is this Itron something that is undermining the Kovod Shabbos? Omer Rava Mitosha Recho Ra. You know, this pitch, this tar, if you burn it, it has a very nice flame, but it doesn't have a very good smell. Is Gzeira Shemi Anichenu V'yetze. And Rava says, we're afraid that he's going to light the candle, and it has a bad smell, he's going to run out. And he won't eat his Suda to the Nair of Shabbos. He'll eat it somewhere in the dark. Again, it's not like today we have electricity. So there, in those days, it was the candle that gave the illumination in order to enjoy his Suda Shabbos. Now, I'm not exactly sure whether or not Rava is concerned with what we call Kovod Shabbos, or perhaps Oneg Shabbos. Now, if you take a look at the language of Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah, it says Mipnei Kovod Shabbos. But yet, Rav is putting the emphasis here on not eating his Suda because of the foul odor. And that eating of the Suda, Pashtus, would be Oneg Shabbos. But it could be that the mitzvah of Kvod Shabbos generates not only the preparations for Shabbos, you know, wearing begodim miuchadim, begodim nekiyim, taking a bath before Shabbos, all this is Kvod Shabbos, but also eating the Suda is Oneg Shabbos, obviously, when you eat the Suda Shabbos, but it also comes under Kvod Shabbos. But in any event, the bottom line is that according to Rava, the essential part of Ner Shabbos is to prepare you for eating your Suda to the light of the Ner Shabbos. So that's not going to be very feasible in the case of Itron. Omale Abai turns to Rava and he says, V'yetze, I'm not interested. It doesn't bother me, ki uzeh, if he checks out. He doesn't want to eat his Suda liara Ner because it's made of Itron and it's got a Reach Ra. Let him go eat in a different place, even if he eats in the dark. And you know, this touches on the old question that Nebuch, a blind person, a Saginar, is he satiated from his food? He can't see his food. Seeing the food with the eyes, the Re'isim, that's also a part of Oneg Shabbos. But Abaye here is not interested in that dimension, and he says, look, he'll eat his Suda in the dark, and you could eat your Suda in the dark. Maybe it's not totally pitch dark. Amalei, so Rava turns to Abaye and he says, you know what, I am upset about the fact that he's going to pack out because of the smell of the Itron. Shani Omer, because my opinion, says Rav, is Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos Chova. We have an obligation to light the Ner Shabbos, it's a Kovod Shabbos, and the Suda itself is not considered a Suda Chashuva of Kovod Shabbos unless there's Or. And it means that at night we need that light on Friday night to make it like as if it's the day of Shabbos, as if it's Or Hayom. Again, it's not Or Hayom, but it's Ke'en Or Hayom because of the candles that he lights. And it's interesting because Abaye himself in Masechta Yoma says that a person should eat his Suda by day, because seeing the food adds so much to his sense of satiation. And the Gemara there in Yoma adds that you can eat at night Ke'ena Yom if you light candles that illuminate your food. So Abaye would be Moda, perhaps, that there's a Chiv to be Madlik Ner Shabbos. I don't think Abaye would deny that. In fact, the Gemara later on is going to say that one of the three sins, so to speak, cardinal sins of a woman, and she dies at the time, time of her birth, one of them is Hadlokas Ner. She's not careful about Hadlokas Ner Shabbos. So why would she be punished if it's not a Chova? However, Abaye understands that the Chova of Ner Shabbos is not because of the Suda, but rather the Kovod Shabbos, that he lights a candle for Shabbos. So Abaye is not concerned with the fact that he runs away and he eats the Suda elsewhere in the dark. Rav, on the other hand, was Mechadish, that part of that Chova of Ner Shabbos is that he should eat the Suda and enjoy the benefits of the Suda, he should reach the Onig Shabbos to the illumination of the candles. And here, Rava quotes a statement, Yomar Rav Nachman bar Rav Zavda of Yami Leo, to say it was Rav Nachman bar Rav Amarav, Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos Chova. And the way Rav understood this was, Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos B'Mokom Se'uda. That his Se'uda, L'Kovet Shabbos, has to be enhanced by the illumination of the Ner Shabbos. Rechitzas Yadayim Raglayim B'Chamin, Arvis Rishus. No, he doesn't have to run around looking for hot water on Erev Shabbos in order to be mechabe the Shabbos by washing his hands and his feet in hot water. It might be that if he has hot water available to him, then he would be obligated to do so, but it's only called a reshus because he's not obligated to run around looking for and obtaining hot water. Now, Rav Nachman himself disagrees with Rav, and he says, V'ani omer mitzvah, that rechitza in Mayim Chamim is not just a reshus, but it's a mitzvah. Which sounds like he's saying that it's a little bit less than the chova of Hadlakas Ner. So we have three levels here. We have reshus, we have mitzvah, and we have chova. But as opposed to Hadlakas Ner, which is a chova, we drop down one level, according to Rav Nachman, and we classify Brechitza B'chamin as a mitzvah, not a chova, but a mitzvah. In other words, if he doesn't wash himself in hot water, he's not going to be punished for that, but if he does wash himself in hot water, he will be rewarded. Now, if Brechitza is only Rishus according to the first day, that's the day of Rav, then it's up to him, Rishus B'yodah, whether he wants to wash. He doesn't have to wash. According to Rav Nachman, Rechitza is a mitzvah, which would mean that if there is hot water available for him, for Rechitza, then he's chayav lirchotz. If, on the other hand, he doesn't have hot water right here, now, you know, accessible, then he's not chayav to run around looking for them, because it's not a chova, it's only a mitzvah. My mitzvah, what's the source for this mitzvah of washing your body, Erev Shabbos, in hot water? And the Gemara clarifies this, the Yomar Rabbi Yehuda Mashrav, Kacha Yemin Hagash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi, be Erev Shabbos, Mevim Lo Areva Malea Chamin, they brought him a bowl that was full of hot water. And he was able to use the hot water Rochets Panav Yodav Viraglov to wash his face, his hands, and even his feet. Umis Atef, and then Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi would walk outside on Erev Shabbos with a talis perhaps over his head. Yoshev Bisdinim Hametsuyonim, and he's going to wear a very fancy garment made of linen, and mitzionim, and it has tzitzis on it, and it has both lavan and tcheles on the four corners. V'dome l'malach Hashem tzvakos. And this is reminiscent of the history of Tzfat at the time of the Arizal, you know, the way they went out to be Mekabel Shabbos, and Alkabetz wrote the L'chadodi over there in that time period. In any event, we see from Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi and his minhag to be rochets be Erev Shabbos that this is a mitzvah. Because we have a principle called minhag Yisrael Torahi. You know, it's really interesting, by the way, that Rav Nachman is proving that there is a mitzvah of rechitza. It's not just a reshus from Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi. But how does he know about Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi? That he knows from Rabbi Yehuda the name of Rav. Which is really interesting, because Rav himself said that Rechitza of Yadayim Raglayim B'Chamin is a Rishus. It's a little bit muddy here how this works out. How could Rav Nachman, who's Cholek al Rav, Rav Nachman wants to say it's a mitzvah, not just a Rishus, prove it from the minhag of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi, And this minhag of Rabbi Yehuda bar Loi is quoted by Rav, which seems to say that Rav brought this minhag as a support for his understanding that it's only a reshus. So based on this calculation, the Chidah has an unbelievable chiddush. He wants to suggest that Rav Nachman is not disagreeing with Rav, he's interpreting it Rav. And he's saying that when Rav said it was reshus, that means relative to Adlokas Ner, which is an absolute chova, it's called a reshus, but what it really is a mitzvah. And Rav Nachman proves this from the fact that Rav transmitted the minhag of Rabbi Yehuda bar Loi, which seems that certainly Rav held that it was a mitzvah. That's why he was very careful about transmitting this story about the minhag of Rabbi Yehuda bar Loi. Now, I would like to read to you the Lashon Rambam in Perek Lamed Milchus Shabbos. He says, Mitzvah Adam Lirchotz Ponav Yodav Aragla Bechamin Berav Shabbos Mnekvoda Shabbos Umisatev Pitzitzis V'yoshev V'kovid Rosh Miyachel Leakbolas Pnei HaShabbos K'moshu Yotze Likras HaMelech Bechachom HaRishonim Oyim HaKavtzin Talmideim V'yerav Shabbos Misatvim V'omrim Bo V'netze Likras Shabbos HaMelech. That's the Lashon Rambam. Very dramatic, very beautiful. Rav Salvechik has a lot to say about this Rambam. Now, V'domeh l'malach Hashem Tzvakos, V'ayu Talmidov, the Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda, Mechabin Mimenu, they would hide from him, K'nofei K'susasam, the corners of their beged. Their beged, as we said before, was made of linen. They didn't put tzitzis on the corners of their beged. And at some point, although they were trying to hide this from the Rebbe, from Rabbi Yehuda bar Loi, Rabbi Yehuda bar Loi got wind of it. And he was wondering why they don't have tzitzis on the corners of their beged. Omer lahem, bonai, my children. Lo kach shanisi lachem. Haven't I taught this to you with regard to the question of a beged shel pishton, which is called sadin, and whether you tie tzitzis? Tzitzis is made of tzemer. Is Beit Shammai Potrim Beit Sil Machayvim V'alochi Kidirei Beit Silel. Although Beit Shammai say you don't put chute tzitzis on a beged of pishtan, because again the chutim of tzitzis are made of tzemer, and then we'd have an Iser Shatnez by tying down the chutim of tzemer to the beged of pishtan. Pesel though amatir it, and they obligate you to put on tzitzis in a beged shel pishtan, and they derive it from smichus haparshis because it says lo silba shatnez, which is the source for the iser shatnez, and then immediately afterwards the source for the mitzvah of tzitzis is gedilim tasa lecha, which means that there's a mitzvah saseh even in a case of kilayim. And that's called Essay Docha Losase. So the Essay of Tzitzis is Docha the Losase of Levisha Shatnes. So why don't you put, that's a question of Yeshua to his Talmidim, why don't you put Tzitzis on the corners of your Beged Shel Pishtan? After all, says Rabbi Yehuda, I taught you already that we pass in like Beis Hillel, that a Sad that a Beged Shel Pishtan requires Tzitzis. The Inu Savri. Now the Gemara gives a whole explanation to understand why the Talmidim left out the tzitzis on a beged shel pishtan. Savri, they were of the opinion that the Chachamim prohibited putting tzitzis onto a sadin, a beged shel pishtan. Gzera mishum ksus laila. They were afraid that if you were to put tzitzis on the corners of a beged shel pishtan, then you might be tempted to put tzitzis on all your begadim, including a ksus laila. All your begadim, I mean, of pishtan, where there would be a violation of shatnez by laila. Or at least in the case of a ksus laila, because a ksus laila does not generate a mitzvah of tzitzis. And therefore there's nothing to be doche to override and trump the iser shatnez. So we have to be very nervous if we're going to put tzitzis on the four corners of a beged shel pishtan. he might do so even in the case of a ksus hamiyuchedes lelaila, which is p'tur mitzitzis, and that'll violate the isur shatnis shelo b'makom mitzvah. Now, as far as a ksus laila is concerned, the pasuk says u'reisim also in the parasha of tzitzis, and Chazal, and we'll see this later on in Masechet Shabbos, are going to darshan that you need a beged shelov shenoso biyom, which is efshel eroso, and then you chayiv in tzitzis. But a ksus laila, which is designated for night use, like pajamas and so forth, is potur. And Rashi seems to give us the impression that a ksus hamiyuchad lalayla, which is potter from tzitzis, the chiyuv of tzitzis depends upon the designation of the beged. If it's a beged hamiyuchad lalavisha b'yom, then you chayv b'tzitzis even b'layla. If it's a beged hamiyuchad lalavishas layla, you're potter from tzitzis even b'yom. And that's the sheet of the Rosh. The Rambam, on the other hand, holds that ksus layla is any beged that you wear at night, even if it's a regular garment that is designated for daytime wear. On the other hand, during the day, any beged is chayv in tzitzis, even if it's miyud balayla. So it depends on the zman, not on the beged. This is all the Gemara that we learned today based on Rashi. Tosis, Divrei Maskil Sadin, asks a whole bunch of questions on Rashi, and therefore he offers Rabbeinu Tam's pshat in the sugya as an alternative pshat. All the Tanoim have this drosha, and they have the smichus aparshis, which is matir kalayim betzitzis, and midin Torah, you're allowed to wear tcheles or lavan made of tzemer as tzitzis on a beged shel pishtim. Beit Shammai was afraid that he might put on these tzitzis on a beged laila, on a ksus laila, and therefore he would violate these shatnas. Therefore they patted sadin, meaning a linen garment, completely from tzitzis. And Basil was not afraid, and therefore he says yechayev in tzitzis, even in a ksus, in a sadin. But the Talmidim felt that although Basil are right on a deraisa level, there still is a gzeres chachamim to prohibit putting tzitzis on a sadin, because he might come to put it on a beged lailo. How do we paskin la locha? Do we accept this gzera, the chachami of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda? Some Rishonim say yes. The Rif and the Rambam, on the other hand, they, and that would simply seemingly be indicated by Rashi, they paskin la locha like Beis Hillel, and a sadin is chayiv in tzitzis. On the other hand, you're not allowed to put chutei tcheles in pishta, and that's for a different reason, and that's not relevant to us today. Now the Gemara goes back to a pasuk in Eicha, based on what we derived about the chova, the obligation of adlokas ner l'kavod Shabbos, and in the lamentation of Yirmiyah Novi in Eicha on the time period of Churban Abayis, he writes, "Vatiznach mi shalom nafshi." Nashisi Tova, which means that peace for my soul has left me. We have forgotten the Tova, the good. We don't remember the good days. And this entire chapter is one long lamentation of Yirmiyah on all its sorrows that were mischadesh at the time of Churban Abayis. And this pasuk says he was misonein on Sholem Vitova, that once and upon a time he had, but they've ceased, they've terminated. And the Gemara says, "My vatiznak mishalom nafshi, Omer Rabbi Avo, zu adlokas ner Shabbos." At the time of the Churban Abayis, they didn't have a ner to be madlik for Shabbos. And if there's no ner, there's no peace. You trip into something, you're nikshal balichoso in a bayis of choshech, and that's not Shalom Bayis. The Gemara continues to explain the pasuk in Eicha. What was Yirmiyah's intention when he writes Nashisi Tova? Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah Zo Beis HaMerchatz, that at the time of the Churban Abayis they were not able to wash and bathe in a Beis HaMerchatz. That's one opinion, Rabbi Yirmiyah. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tova Zu Rechitzas Yadayim V'Raglayim B'Chamin, that at the time of the Churban, they couldn't even wash their hands and their feet in hot water. and certainly not go into a Beis HaMerchatz. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Omar, Tova Zu Mita Noa Vekelim Noam Shaleha. That at the time of the Churban HaBayis, they didn't have a good place to sleep, a decent bed, they didn't have, you know, mattresses or covers over their beds. We have a fourth shita here, and that's Rabbi Abba, and he says Tova is a Mita Mutsas. The word Tova refers not only to bedding that's placed on a bed, but also Isha Mekushetes, a beautiful wife. And perhaps the beauty here is not just on the outside, but also on the inside. She's Haguna B'Maseha, and she is suitable for a Talmud Chacham. This was all lost at the time of the Churban HaBayis. The Rav Yah writes that even though there are so many different interpretations of Nashisi Tova, the word Tova is referring to both Shabbos and Chol. But again, they were more rugil to this Tova, L'chvod Shabbos. And Rabbi Yirmi and Rabbi Yochanan wanted to tell us that Rechitza on Erev Shabbos, which we said is a mitzvah, was completely lost during the time of the Churban. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says that the intention of this pasuk is for Mita Na, which again is something that they would recline on when they ate the Suda Shabbos, Kelim Noam L'Kovit Shabbos. Rabbi Abba says that the Kavana is for Onas Talmidei Chachomim, which is Leil Shabbos, the Gemara in Ksubis. And the Bir Agra and the Chidah and a number of other Achronim write that the source for the tour, that Lechatchila you have to be Rochets Kol Gufo B'Erev Shabbos, the Gemara seems to assume that the Mitzvah's Rechitzas Yado V'Raglov is from this interpretation of Rabbi Yirmiya of Nashisi Tova, that we cannot go into the Beis HaMerchatz and we could not be mekayim the mitzvah of Kovod Shabbos by washing our entire body. And the mitzvah of Erev Shabbos is to rinse and to bathe your entire body. Now once the Gemara quotes this drasha of Atiznach Mishalom Nafshi, the Gemara brings now a number of shitos. What's and who is considered an ashir? Tana Rabbanan Ezu ashir, because again, we're going to have Rabbi Akiva later on, who reflects this sheet of Rabbi Abba in the word Tova. And the Tanoim have to explain who is an usher, so we should know how far a person should be Toreach if he wants to be Toreach in order to achieve more of the Shiurim that we're going to talk about later on. And now we have to know who this usher is, who has to go beyond. And again, some say that the word usher here means usher beruchnis, and everything is a mashal for spirituality. But the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Meir, Tana Rabbanan Ezu usher kol sheyesh lo nachas ruach bi ushro, he's sameach b'chelko, whether he has a lot of money or only limited financial sources, he's still very happy with what he has. That's Rabbi Meir. And the Simon for the names of the Tanoim that are going to now be quoted as explaining who is an Ashir is Memtes Kuf Samach. So we had already the Mem, which is Rabbi Meir, now we're up to the Tuf, which is the Tes, which is Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, who is the Ashir? Kol Sheyesh Lo Mea Krumim. If he's the owner of 100 vineyards, Umea Sados, and in addition, he has 100 fields, Umeya Avodim, and he has 100 servants, Sha'ovdim Bahem, that work in the Sodos, they work in the vineyards, they do the Avoda that he needs. He is an Ashir. Rabbi Akiva Omer, who's an Ashir, Kol Sheyesh Lo Isha Na B'Maasim, certainly Rabbi Akiva understands that we're talking about an Ashir in Ruchnius. He has a wife, who Baruch Hashem is Na B'maisim. Her actions are very beautiful. She has Midos Tovos, Midos Nos, Isha Yiras Hashem Itis Halel. And Rabbi Yossi finally says, who is an Ashir? Kol Sheyesh Lo Beis HaKisei Samach L'Shulchano. He has a bathhouse, where a bathroom, I should say, where he goes to the bathroom, and it's close to his meal. He could do his tracha before he goes to eat. And that's something that the Gemara is going to tell us later on. It's very healthy for a person. And even after he eats, when the food somehow is being digested, he has to go to the bathroom, and he has a bathroom close by. Now, we have a brisa that's going to introduce another type, another category of shemen that is prohibited and disqualified for Ner Shabbos. Tanya Rav Yishim Ben Elazar Omer, Ein Madlikin Bitsari. Tsari is going to be excluded, according to Rav Yishim Ben Elazar, for Ner Shabbos, and it's the sraf, this kind of a serum that is yotze from an eitz, from a tree that's called kataf. And this kataf tree, as the Gemara is going to explain later on in Daf Chaf Vav, is one of the Samamoniak Torahs, as the Gemara enumerates the Samamoniak Torahs in Krisus. And why don't we use the tsari, the saraf, that comes out of this tree, my taima? And the Gemara explains, Omar Rabba Mitosha Recho Nodef, is Gzeira Shem Yistapik Mimenu. The smell, the odor of one of these samamonim, which is called tsari, that comes from kataf, goes very far. And we're not going to allow you to use it for adloka. Gzeir Hashem yistapek mimenu. He's going to use some of the ner, some of the tsari, on Shabbos for his own tashmishim. And if a person takes from the shemen and siphons it off from the ner, then he violates the iser malacha of mechaveh. And the Brisa says in Masechta Beitza that if you add shemen to the ner, yechayv mishum mavir. If you remove shemen for the ner, yechayv mishum mechab. And Abaye is not happy. Omalei Abaye, and here we'll turn to Daf Chavav Amin Aleph. Lema Mar, Rabba should say that the reason why the Isra Adlok and Tsari is Vipneshu off. In other words, when he lights it, it's off. It's nidbak bekosle habayis umarv iram. It's also to be madlik because it's very dangerous. This light flies, so to speak, and it may catch the walls of his house, and the whole house will go into flame. And if a person is bol al mamono, he's going to try to put out this light before it could burn down his house, and he's going to again violate on the isur mechaveh. So the Gemara answers, Chada v'od ka'omar. Chada, because of Mipnei Shu'af, v'od, in addition, Gzer Hashem Yistapik Mimenu, that he might siphon off some of the oil. So there's a double reason here for the Isur and the Psul of using Tsari for a Ner Shabbos. Tosus here points out that Af is not such a sakana, because otherwise it would be usher to light this tsari even during the chol mishum sakana. But you don't have to worry about it during chol. It's not that much of a sakana, as the Gemara is going to explain soon with regard to neft lavan. But on Shabbos it's usher because he might be nikshal in the iser kibui. So this is where we're going to stop here on Daf Chavav and Aleph on the top. And the Mirtzah Hashem on line 3, Ahu Chamsa, that's where we're going to start in tomorrow's shiur on Daf Chavav and Aleph.